Well, do you like Christmas surprises? Sometimes they can be good, can't they? To be honest, I do have trouble coming up with a really good Christmas surprise. Mostly in our family, we ask each other what we want. That sort of takes the fun out of it in some ways, but at least you get something that you want rather than something that you don't. The last few years, our family's tried to manufacture the surprise a bit. We organise Secret Santa. I don't know whether you do that in your family. It seems to be fairly popular at work. The way it works in our family is each family member gets one gift for someone else. But we put a list on the fridge, a sheet of paper on the fridge, where you can write some of the things that you would like. And then the Secret Santa can choose from that list, or they can buy something else. And so each Christmas there'll be a few surprises, things that aren't expected. And I guess the giver, the person buying the gift, is a surprise as well. I wonder though if you've ever been on the other end of it, giving a gift that someone loves but never expected, not in their wildest dreams. That's a great feeling, isn't it? You've gone to the trouble of thinking about that person, going out and buying the perfect but completely unexpected gift. And then on Christmas morning, there's the look of complete surprise on their face as the wrapping falls away to reveal that necklace or the iPod or the car keys or the concert tickets. The eyes widen, the mouth drops open. It's a complete Christmas surprise. I saw this photo on Facebook during the week. I wonder if this person, I'm assuming it was a male, got a surprise when they walked outside and saw that on their driveway on Christmas morning. It's not that hard to tell what it is, perhaps, inside the wrapping, but it certainly would have been a surprise, I would think. In Matthew's Gospel, Joseph, as we read in those six verses this morning, he gets his fair share of Christmas surprises as well. We don't know a lot about Joseph's life. It seemed like he was a carpenter, and life in Nazareth would have been fairly predictable. It was hardly a bustling city. So Joseph, I'm guessing, reading between the lines, would have been more used to a fairly staid, quiet, sleepy sort of life, perhaps. And yet here, in the space of a short period of time, his world is turned on its head. Let's think about it. First up, Christmas surprise number one, a pregnant fiancée. Now, no doubt, Joseph had been making plans, imagining how his future life would turn out with his soon-to-be wife, but now his life is turned upside down. Verse 18, we read, his mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. But notice how the reader gets that extra piece of information that poor old Joseph doesn't get there at the end of the verse, found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph doesn't know about that yet. All he can do is imagine the worst, imagine that there's someone else involved. What's he going to do? He could get angry. He could get even. He could make everything public. But he's a good man. And we're told that he decides to quietly divorce her. There's no point making a bad situation worse, verse 19. But that's when he gets his Christmas surprise number two, as he's thinking through how he's going to do that. He gets an unexpected dream, verse 20. After he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now that's an unexpected surprise in a couple of ways. Firstly, from a historical point of view, and secondly, the actual message of the angel himself. As we think about Joseph's time in history, from all we can tell, God had been silent for a long time. No dreams, no messages, no prophets. The last prophet had given his message 400 years previous, and the people were wondering and waiting for when God was going to deliver on some of those things that he'd promised. Promises to save, promises to deliver and rescue, promises to provide a rescuer. But now he's spoken. after 4 centuries of silence, speaking through an angel, just like he had to Abraham and Jacob, fathers of the Jewish race, centuries before, but now he'd appeared to this carpenter in a dream. There's the first surprise. The second surprise was the message that he came to deliver, that God was answering, fulfilling his promises. He was intervening to rescue, but not in the way people might have imagined. He wasn't raising up a judge or a king or sending a foreign army. This time he was going to do something different, something final, something surprising. Now, we may find this a little difficult to swallow, but there's no confusion about what's written. It's clear, it's plain. Just because we can't understand how it happens, it doesn't mean it's not true. Here's the message. The incredible answer to all God's promises is a baby. But not just any baby, a miraculous baby. Now, those of us who are parents know that any conception, every pregnancy, every birth is itself a miracle. But this miracle pregnancy is of a completely different order. The angel puts it simply, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't understand that. Somehow, through God's Spirit, God fertilises Mary's completely normal human egg and a 100% human embryo begins to develop. Completely normal in every way except that 23 of the chromosomes come without human intervention from God himself. And so this baby, in a way that has never been seen before or since, is both human and divine. Now, if the virgin birth, if the virgin conception is something we have trouble understanding, then the nature of Jesus will really make our head spin. Jesus, 100% human in every way except without sin, but also 100% God. Not less than God, not part of God, but completely God. Not 50-50, not half human and half divine, but completely God, completely human at the same time. That's the truth that may not be spelled out here, but it's the truth that the whole Bible teaches us about Jesus. For centuries before, God's plan had been to use human rescuers, human leaders and judges and kings and priests. And they'd worked to a point for a while, but in the end, every single one of them fails. Because they were human. And humanity always falls short, always fails, never achieves what it intends, never is completely reliable. The only one who could effectively stand in the gap between humanity and God is someone who is both human and divine. God tries the human solutions and they'd all fail. So now God steps in to do it himself. And so, as surprising as the news is, Joseph wakes up and trusts God. When he wakes up, he doesn't divorce Mary. He takes her home as his wife, but doesn't sleep with her. And so that leads to Christmas surprise number 3, a virgin giving birth. Down in verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and he gave him the name Jesus. But that's not the only surprise in the dream. We jumped over a little part of the angel's message back up there in verse 21. Have a look at it. She will give birth to a son. And here's a command for Joseph. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, that's how we say the Greek name Jesus or Yehoshua in Hebrew, or Joshua is the way we would say Joshua. And it's a name that means God saves. And that's just what the angel says that this baby is going to grow up to do. Call him Jesus, call him God saves, because Jesus will save his people from their sins. And so there's the fourth Christmas surprise for Joshua. He's going to have a baby sin rescuer. It's not a bad job description. And it's been decided for him at an early age. And all Joseph had been hoping for was another carpenter to help him out in the family business, Joseph and Sons, carpentry business. But instead, Jesus would grow up to help his other father, his heavenly father, in his family business, sin rescuing. This tiny baby, who wasn't even born yet, was destined to rescue people from sin. I wonder whether Joseph ever wondered about that. We're told in Luke's gospel that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. What about Joseph? I wonder if he ever thought, as a good Jew, about how sin was paid for, how sin was dealt with. Law-breaking, impurity. He would have known how God had told to deal with sin. He would have known about the temple and sacrifices. He would have known about how, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest placed his hands on the head of a goat and transferred the guilt of the nation onto the goat. He would have known how a lamb was slaughtered and sacrificed, its blood spilt to cleanse sin. Over and over again, a constant reminder of sin and guilt, a constant reminder of judgment and perfection. Joseph would have known those things. Would he have wondered about them? Would he have wondered how this little baby could possibly rescue Israel from a process like that? It was probably better if he didn't know all the details, because Jesus did grow up to become the Lamb of God, who suffered and died, whose blood was spilled in the place of many, to deal with sins once and for all. Now, we're not told what Joseph understood of all this, but just in case we don't understand, Matthew actually tells us what all this means. Verse 22, he says, it's all been planned by God and promised centuries before through the prophet Isaiah. And here's what he promised. In verse 23 we read, the baby would be God with us. And so that's the fourth Christmas surprise. Emmanuel means God, our God with us. It makes sense if you think about how he was conceived. The baby conceived by the Holy Spirit in a human mother would be God, but also with us, one of us. Verse 22, Matthew tells us all this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That was a wonderful word for Israel in the first century, but it's a wonderful word for us too in 21st century Australia in 2015, that in the mess of human problems, that in the bad news we see every night on the TV, in the misery of poverty and drugs and broken families, in the despair of drought and bushfire and global warming and nuclear weapons, the ethnic conflict and civil war and terrorism, in the midst of all of that, when we look around and wonder whether God has any idea or whether he cares at all, or whether he understands, that the wonderful answer of that little verse is yes. He does care, he does know, he does understand, he did enter our world to deal with it all. He lowered himself into the rubbish heap that is planet Earth and lived among us. That's the incredible, surprising, wonderful news of Christmas. It's why we're here this morning. to celebrate the wonderful gift of God with us. Well, they're the Christmas surprises Joseph got, and maybe they're surprises for you as well. Perhaps you think they're surprises that just seem too good to be true. But the message of the Bible is that surprising as they seem, they're true nonetheless. The rationalists, humanists, agnostics, academics and atheists laugh at the idea that God is with us. But that's their loss. God has entered our world. A few years ago, you might remember Joan Osborne sang a song, "What if God was one of us, just a stranger on a bus?" But that's more than just a hypothetical question, because the reality is, in Jesus, God has become one with us. He bridges the gap between his perfection and our sin. He provides the way for us to return to him. That's the great, surprising truth that separates Christianity from every other religion. Every other religion. All religion is about a path from us working our way to God. Every religion builds a bridge. Whether it's praying five times a day, or living a good life, or going to Mass, or chanting a mantra, or keeping rules. But none of it works. Every other way falls short. It might make us feel good, but it doesn't work. Only God's way works. Only by clinging to God's sin rescuer, Jesus, can we be saved. So here's the surprising but true message. You are sinful. I am sinful. We all live in rebellion against the God who created us. We all need rescuing. That's a condition that's headed for God's judgment. And the surprising but true news is that you need to recognise God's rescuer and cling to him. Cling to Jesus as the one who can save you from his judgment. Jesus, the baby who grew up to offer you peace, to offer his life in place of yours. If we do that, God promises to forgive us. And then Jesus commands us to live our life with him as King, living the way God designed our life to be. Many of us here this morning have done that. So let me build on that for those of us who already know Jesus as our King, as we think about that idea. And let me challenge you in one final area. Joseph heard and obeyed. Perhaps he asked, "Why me?" Perhaps he had a moment's hesitation, but he obeyed, despite the surprises. When God involves himself in your world, how will you respond? The Christian life, again and again, is about choosing to respond in obedience. Choosing whether it be big things or little things, in easy or difficult things, in scary things, in surprising things, choosing to obey. In 2016, God may ask you to do some surprising things for him. How will you respond? Will you shake your head and turn away from the opportunity, or, like Joseph, will you obey? There'll be opportunities here at church to serve, opportunities to grow, opportunities to know and be known, opportunities to take up your cross and follow Jesus. How will you respond to those? Perhaps God's surprises for you are in areas that you had never thought of. It might be an opportunity to speak to that family member or workmate about Jesus. It might be teaching scripture or Sunday school or kids club. It might be leading a home group or reading the Bible and praying with someone. Or organising a new mum's play group or joining one of our working groups with a specific focus. There'll be new opportunities in the new year to help out refugees and asylum seekers. God's surprising plans for you in 2016, they may challenge and stretch you. When God sends his surprises your way next year, will you step forward and respond in obedience? Or will you hang back and miss the chance to work with God, to see him at work in you and through you for his glory and the glory of his Son Jesus? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you might be at work in us. As Joseph received those surprising messages from you and responded in obedience, we pray that you would help us to respond in obedience, to recognise Jesus as our sin rescuer and our Lord and our King, and then to live out daily our obedience and our gratefulness to him. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.